It's HPR, All Things Considered, and I'm Dave Lawrence. Through Sunday night at the Blue Note, a debut for this gentleman at the venue, Johnny Lang is in town. Talented guitarist, famously opened for the Rolling Stones, you may or may not recall, back at Aloha Stadium in 1998 when he was 16 years old. He is back supporting his 2017 album Signs, and he's a really nice guy and great to talk to him again. He joins us now. Hey, Johnny, welcome. Thanks for doing this.
Man, thanks for having me.
A pleasure. And give us a little bit of an idea what's in store for this, because I know you were here in like 2005, I think, 2007. But what's in store?
Yeah, well, we had a record come out. We got some new songs, I think, for some folks that maybe haven't seen the show recently. But yeah, like you said, we've never played at Blue Note.
Describe the band. How many pieces are you bringing?
There's five of us in the band. Got another guitar player, keyboard player, drummer, bass player, and me.
You've got an illustrious history in town, because thinking back to when you came in 1998, Steve the Mystery Emailer was explaining to me, he sends me all kinds of stuff. It was in early January of that year, just before your 17th birthday. Do I have it right?
Yeah, it was actually the day of my 17th birthday.
Wow, I mean, what a present that is.
That was pretty crazy.
So take us back to when you first got news that you were even going to open for him, because I imagine, because you're such a humble cat, you must have just been blown away, like, I can't believe it.
Well, man, yeah, I remember talking to my manager, told me about it, and I couldn't accept it. It was just too crazy. But it was an amazing experience, obviously, and those guys were really, really nice to me and all of our band and crew and stuff. So we went out on a couple different occasions with them. So, but the one here was the first one we did with them.
Do you ever run into them backstage, or is it the kind of thing where you're kind of on separate trajectories? Were there any interesting stories or fun encounters that you can share?
Yeah, man. You know, my personality, I'm trying to stay out of everybody's way pretty much. So, but yeah, we definitely would see them and talk with them, and they're very approachable. And
who did you spend the most time with of them?
I think probably Keith and Ron. They seemed like they're kind of always hanging out together, and they'd be roaming around backstage. So, and they're hilarious. Just to hang out and chat with those guys in person is such a delight.
Now, I know you've played with Ron, because I was watching a really cool video of you playing with Ron and Buddy Guy on stage. But when you were doing the Stones tour, did you ever end up on stage with them?
Yeah, actually, they let me get up and play a couple times, and I don't think I remember the actual experience of it, because I was so like, it was just such an amazing moment. I was distracted by everything. It was so crazy, but yeah, what an experience.
Yeah, and at 17, I don't think anybody could fault you for not having really detailed memories of something that insane happening in your life. And explain how you decided to pick up the guitar initially.
First memories that I have are that I loved music and loved singers and wanted to sing. I just had this desire to have something to do with music in my life, and I never really thought of playing an instrument until I went and saw this band live, saw this guitar player, and heard the guitar amp in the room and felt it, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. I gotta try to figure this out. You know, I was actually able to take lessons from that guy and join their band, because they were all friends with my dad. They let me join their band as their singer and kind of rhythm guitar player, and just kept taking some lessons from Ted the guitar player, and that's how it started.
They're adults, and how old are you?
I was 13, and yeah, and they were like 24, 25, something like that.
I love it. It's a great story. And I can see that your dad gets a lot of the credit. Was he a musician at all, or he liked going and seeing live music?
Yeah, my mom and dad they're really musical. They love music. My mom's a great singer. We always had like records playing in the house and stuff. And so I think when they saw that I really loved music and that's what I wanted to do, they were just very supportive. They've always been just nothing but supportive.
Does your dad play an instrument?
Yeah, early on he played drums or something, like, you know, in a band for a while when he was younger, when I was a little kid. I don't remember it, but I don't think I've ever seen him play drums to this day. But
And what kind of jams, when you say they had music on and stuff, like what were they listening to? What was your mom into? What was your pop into?
Motown records and soul singers and stuff like that for the most part. That's what I remember hearing. A lot of Jacksons and Stevie Wonder and Smokey Robinson, Four Tops and Temptations, all that stuff.
And part of your exciting resume is a lot of different stuff like this happening at a young age. Another one is A&M Records. Now we're in an era where the record company isn't nearly what it was back then. But at the time, that was a really big thing. They end up being at one of your shows, from what I read, in Minneapolis. Can you tell that story?
Yeah, well, I was able to do kind of this demo with a producer, David Z, who ended up producing our first two records. And he offered to take me down to Memphis and do like three songs and send them out to record companies, which is what you used to do, send demos, you know, and send out those three songs to a few labels. And a few of them showed up for this, you know, showcase show we did in Minneapolis, and A&M was one of them, and that's how we got signed.
Some of your experiences, though, do revolve around just remarkable gigs throughout your life where you were able to showcase your talent. We mentioned one of those things, I guess, the Buddy Guy and Ron Wood video that I saw. Was that you at the Eric Clapton's Crossroads Festival, or where was that you did that with those guys?
Yes, it was at the Crossroads Festival.
Did you ever end up jamming with him?
Well, you know, not really on that particular gig. There was a big, you know, jam at the end where everybody gets up there, and so it's like 100 guitar players on stage. So I don't know if that counts, but I was standing pretty close to him.
Well, it's cool he invited you to be on what is a gig that's close to his heart.
Yeah, man, he was really nice to me, and what an honor to be invited, because I believe he kind of personally invites people. Mm-hmm. And there's a letter, you know, and it's a personalized letter kind of, and so it's very, I mean, I felt really special, you know, getting that letter and being invited by him.
What a neat
thing, man. Very cool.
And when you talk about that all-star kind of moment where there's just too many cats on stage to even face, it's kind of like a George Clinton show almost. When you were doing your, when you did, I see this video, you with B.B. King, what was that all about?
That was one of the first tours I got to go on. I think it actually was the first one.
Those summer things he would do, the B.B. King blues thing that he
did? Again, like, I've been pretty fortunate to meet the people you look up to, and you want them to be nice, and you don't want them to ruin it for you.
Exactly.
And, I've been pretty lucky that way. BB's at the top of the list, such a nice guy, and just treated me like one of the guys, and I was just this little kid, and he just didn't treat me like a kid at all. He just, hey man, come on up here. The things you pick up on when you're 3 feet from somebody are a little bit deeper, little nuances and stuff like that, and I think I was definitely paying more attention to him than I was to what I was doing. So.
And final guy before I wrap it up, it's a major guitar player. I look in your list of incredible encounters, Jeff Beck.
Yeah.
Tell us the story.
The story. Dude, first of all, really nice to me, and so, yeah, just really cool. That was like early 2000s, something like that, and yeah, went on like a 3-week tour with them or something. I've seen him since a few times, you know, here and there, but one of the most freakishly gifted, you know, musicians of all time. So I was at the Clapton thing. I was standing next to Warren Haynes. It was so funny because, you know, all the guitar players play their slot. And then, like, at the end, and everybody's kind of milling around, you know, back and coming and going, kind of watching who's playing casually, but then Jeff Beck gets up, and every single guitar player that was there is like lining the stage. And I was standing next to Warren Haynes, and he's just weird. You can't figure out what he's doing, what Jeff Beck is doing with his hands. It's like you're looking at it, it's like sleight of hand guitar playing, yeah. Magic.
Right, like a magic trick.
It is, because there's sounds coming out of there that there's no like pedal to account for, you know, or something. It's weird.
Right, but you cannot figure out how he is making that noise.
Yeah, he's amazing.
And any dream collaboration that you still need to do since you've met all these cats, done all this stuff?
I really have no agenda on that front. I just, I love James Taylor. I love Stevie Wonder. Those are probably my two biggest inspirations when I listen to their music and songwriting and stuff. So if I could work with either two of those guys, that'd be awesome.
Well, I'll see what I can do. We'll try to line that
please
up.
Please put that call in, man.
It is Johnny Lang, and he's back. He's doing 8 o'clock shows each night at the Blue Note through Sunday, and wonderful to have you on the air with us, and thank you for doing this. I really appreciate it.
Man, thank you for being so cool. We'll be right back.
the way.